Now, Big Brother in a Benedictine habit. That's what many viewers were expecting when they first heard about a new reality TV show being filmed inside a Benedictine monastery in the south of England. Five young men from very varied backgrounds were invited to spend 40 days inside the monastery, cut off from the outside world, living alongside the 22 monks who make up the community at Worth Abbey, while a TV crew filmed their often comic and sometimes coarse attempts to live a more spiritual life. The five selected candidates included a soft porn filmmaker, an ex-member of the paramilitary Ulster Defence Association, a student of Buddhism, a publishing company executive, and a retired teacher, none of whom knew much about the Christian faith, yet all of whom said they were enriched by the experience. The three-part series, entitled simply The Monastery, was first shown in Britain in May 2005 and was so successful that 1 year later a follow-up programme was made to find out what long-term changes those men had undergone. At the same time, a similar series was produced about four women in an English convent, and both British shows have now been copied by American TV companies. So is this the new face of religious broadcasting? Has there been much resistance to this opening up of monastic life? And why are so many non-religious viewers so fascinated by what are, in fact, overtly spiritual programmes? Questions I put to Father Christopher Jamieson, abbot of the Benedictine community at Worth Abbey, where the monastery was made.
First of all, the whole idea of reality TV fills the air at the moment here in Britain and indeed around the world. So for, it had a marketing edge of being able to pretend that it was going to be like reality TV. In fact, it wasn't like reality TV, but so it was cleverly marketed in that sense. Secondly, having hitched people's interest, we were then able to lead them into an area of life which many people crave, namely a place of stillness, a place of reflection, and to do that with characters who were very modern characters. In other words, the viewer could identify with Tony, with Gary, with the others who came to the monastery and could feel, hey, that could be me doing that. And then finally, they discovered that when these very modern men did this, they gained a lot from it. So they were hooked in, they were led to see something going on that they'd like to do themselves, and then they saw how very beneficial it was. And so I think, if you like, vicariously, they experienced the fruits of contemplative living in their own living room.
It was your task, wasn't it, to guide these five men and the rest of the monks at Worth through this six-week experience. How much of a challenge was that for you personally?
It was very nerve-wracking at first, but once we got to meet the five participants, I relaxed a great deal because I realised that these were very open-hearted and generous men who'd come to us. They came from very thin, minimal religious backgrounds in most cases, but they came with a very generous and open heart, and they also came with a good sense of humour. So that made us all relax and enjoy the process.
Did all the monks there at Worth support your decision to go ahead with this project, or did any of them voice any real concerns, or do they just simply do as you tell them to do?
It's a modern monastery. It's not quite as simple as saying do this and everybody does it. We run a consultative process, just as St. Benedict asks in his rule, that when there is a big decision to be made, let the abbot consult with all the brethren, because God often speaks through even the youngest, as Benedict says. So we consulted, and there were concerns, and we then addressed those concerns, went back to the production company with these concerns, had a very good dialogue, the community met the production team, and gradually the concerns were reduced to a minimum, and we all agreed that we should go ahead with it.
The idea, as you say, cashes in, if you like, on the huge success of all those Big Brother reality TV programmes. Didn't you ever worry, perhaps at the beginning, about the idea of cheapening monastic life or dumbing down, perhaps, yeah, Benedictine spirituality?
Absolutely. Big Brother Goes to the Monastery was the sort of nightmare that I began with, and indeed I challenged the production team to say, look, is that what you're intending? Because if that's what you're intending, then it's no deal. However, as I went through the dialogue with them and as they spoke to the community, it became clear that they had a very, very different motivation. And I began to realize that there was, in religious communities in this country, in the whole Catholic community in this country, we have acquired a very defensive frame of mind towards the media for all sorts of reasons, and many of them justified. But I realized it was a moment to overcome that instinctive defensiveness and to realize that maybe God had sent us a group of media people, a production team, who really did have a different agenda, who wanted to show how religion had something to offer the spiritual life of the people of this country. We began to realize that this really was the case, and so we thought we really must be open to this now.
And yet this tension, if you like, between making the faith accessible and dumbing down, if we can call it that, it really seems to me to be one of the most interesting questions in the church today. Should Catholic leaders be preaching to the converted in a language that really very few people understand these days? Or should they be trying more to reach the increasingly large majority of people who have nothing to do with the church?
The absolutely critical issue which we faced in a very practical way. Interestingly, the practical choices make themselves when it comes to it. There's a very interesting theoretical discussion to be had, but at the practical level, when you're presented with an opportunity to speak to the wide mass of people who are not religiously engaged, you take it. I can't imagine St. Paul saying, this looks a little risky, I'll have to go and think about it. St. Paul would have stood up and preached. And I think that within the boundaries of common sense and prudence, we have to take the opportunities that present themselves to address this wider audience. And I'd add to that, I'm increasingly developing a mental picture which is very different, if you like, to the mental picture of the Catholic Church in Britain in the second half of the 20th century. I think in the first half of the 21st century, we need a different model in our minds. And my model is now this. Every person who comes to church on a Sunday is a bonus. Every person who crosses the threshold of a church just to come into it is a bonus. In other words, we start from an expectation that people in this country are not religious. That's the basic expectation now. And therefore, every time we find a way of inviting them to come towards the church, we rejoice at a new bonus. We don't go around saying, isn't it sad that there's such a decline in the numbers of people coming? We talk ourselves in a different framework, which is that we say, look, the basic expectation is that we now live in a society where most people say, I'm not religious. But the good news is that they usually preface it by saying, or they usually add to that, but I am spiritual. And we have to start to show how religion is at the service of spirituality without an agenda that is trying to just make the numbers look good. But rather, we have a religious offering to feed the spiritual life of the spiritual people of this country.
Like other religious orders, of course, the Benedictines are struggling to find new recruits. Do you think the success of this television series will perhaps help to turn that around at all?
Well, before the series was aired, we had had a number of people who came to us interested in the monastic life, and they joined the community as novices just after the program was aired. So it looked as if there was a sort of instant success, but actually it's not quite like that. However, we have had an increase in the number of people inquiring and some quite serious inquiries. And our conclusion is that the program has enabled people to approach us more confidently. It's led to an increase in the self-confidence of the people whom God is calling to the religious life, that they now feel it's easier to respond to that call.
I suppose that partially answers my next question, but who do you think benefited most from this project? Was it the five men who say their lives were somehow changed by their experiences, or was it you and the monks at the Abbey, or was it the 3 million viewers?
I think we were all winners. That's the reality. The community was given an enormous confidence that our way of life still speaks strongly to this generation, as it has done to hundreds of generations before. The five participants all received something, and in the case of several of them, received a life-changing experience. And perhaps the most unexpected one, though, was the number of viewers who've been in touch with us in their hundreds and thousands to say that their lives were touched and changed by the programme as well. And when I say touched and changed, many people have been in touch with us to describe a process of viewing the programme, being moved to contact us or to contact the local church, joining an RCIA programme, joining an Alpha programme, coming on a retreat with us, some step like that, which has then given them the confidence to seek baptism and to join the church. So that has been a truly remarkable outcome, that a TV programme could be such an amazing channel of conversion. And so for me, the biggest winners are undoubtedly the ordinary people of Britain who've discovered the life of the Catholic Church, feeding their spiritual lives very profoundly.
Gloria in excelsis Deo.
The monastery is now heading to the United States, isn't it, where a
Yes.
similar programme is being made about a monastery, I believe, in New Mexico. Can you tell us anything more about that? And whether you think it is a kind of programme that can be exported with the same kind of success?
Well, the Tiger Aspect has now completed filming at the Monastery of Christ in the Desert in New Mexico, and they've also completed filming at the Convent of Our Lady of Mississippi in Iowa. And in both those monastic communities, they had outsiders, men and women, who did the 40 days, as happened here at Worth Abbey. And they're now editing those programs for transmission in the US by the Learning Channel.
Do we know when they may be going out or not yet?
I think they're going to go out sometime in the autumn. We don't know anything more than that at the moment. But what I think will be interesting will be to see to what extent the very different context of American religious life affects both the way the participants interact with the monasteries and also affects the way the viewer interacts with the program. The reason I say this is that in America, of course, there is a very high level of Christian religious practice, with some 50% of the population in church on a Sunday morning. And in some areas of America, of course, it's much higher than that, because there are some parts of America, mainly on the East Coast, where the average is lower. So you can find in America places where there would be as high as 75% of the population in church on a Sunday morning. Now that means the whole of the background is different, because what was, I suppose, particularly striking in the British experience was that the decline of religious practice and the decline of religious knowledge in Britain meant that there was, I think, a new territory out there of people who had not lapsed, who had not rejected religion, but for whom religion was a foreign country. As Tony Burke in our series said, religion was for me just a source of good jokes. And I think that that is not the case so strongly in America, and I think that changes the way the interaction works. So I'll be really interested to see how that goes.
And my thanks there to Father Christopher Jamieson, abbot of the Benedictine community at Worth Abbey in the south of England, where the TV programme The Monastery was made.